The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Tackling illegal dumping, getting buy-in on correct recycling practices and the success of the deposit return scheme to date are all on the agenda for tomorrow's Waste Management Conference. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Conor Walsh, who's Secretary of the Irish Waste Management Association. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You've got an impressive array of speakers for this conference.
Yeah, look, it should be interesting and people can still get tickets. It's at wasteconference.ie. There's a price there for virtual attend virtually or attend in person. So, you know, we'd like to see people turn up at that. But
you've got a few things on your personal agenda that you'd like to draw our attention to. And one is the rate of recycling. How are we doing?
Yeah, very, very good question, Pat. You know, we've stagnated over the last 10 years, as has England, France, Spain, Sweden. We're all about 40%. We need to get to 55% by 2025, which is this year, of course.
So what are we missing? You know, what stuff are we putting in the black bin or littering the streets with or putting in ditches should be going into an appropriate bin?
Yeah, exactly. There's the analysis from the EPA shows that an awful lot of stuff is going in the general waste bin that is recyclable. And also there's contamination in the recycling bin. So look, I mean, I'd like to keep it very simple here for people because, you know, it is an effort. We know it's an effort. We'll take all plastic packaging in the recycling bin.
I was asking you during the break, you know, what about that crisp packet, which has a very thin layer of grease, if you like, on the inside of the pack, but it's made of plastic. Yeah. So should it be in the bin or not? And you say, well, that's okay. It's not really filthy, but if it's not appropriate, we'll take it out.
Yeah, that's why we're saying all plastic packaging. Look, there's still plastic packaging on the market that's not recyclable. The crisp packet is an example. But look, in order to make it simple for people, put all your plastic packaging in the recycling bin, clean, dry and loose. And we have machines that will separate the recyclable from the non-recyclable.
Now, what not to put in your recycling is... Yeah.
Well, waste electrical equipment in particular and batteries. So anything with a plug or a battery, don't put it in your recycling bins. Don't put it in any of your bins at home. Put it in the boot of your car. And next time you're at an electrical store, they'll take it.
They'll take it.
Or if you go to a civic community
but
site.
But if you, for example, had a set of Christmas lights, for example, little LED bulbs and so on, people might throw them in the black bin. What will happen to them? They'll be burnt in the incinerator, won't they?
Yeah, and it'll be lost. You've copper in that will be lost. So look, we
would
want
it be
to
lost,
see that
or would it actually come down to the bottom of the incinerator and be caught there?
Yeah, a good point, Pat. They do capture metals from the ash of the incinerator, but you know you won't it won't be as efficient as, you know, being recycled. So
it'd be like looking for gold in a barren mountain.
Yeah, and we won't get the credit towards our waste electrical recycling targets either if that happens. So we kind of need it to go in the right direction.
Now, in terms of this new technology that will be on the refuse trucks that's going to detect people who do not conform.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's so many people in Ireland are really, really good at recycling, make a huge effort at sorting their waste. I'm sure you're included in that, Pat, and so am I.
I get great pleasure.
That's great.
I was in my local recycling centre on Saturday. Not alone is it a good feeling to do it with cardboard and paper and all the rest, but you meet people and you have great chance.
Yeah, exactly. And there's loads of people like that out there. You know, but there are others who... You know, don't make the effort, and it may be because they're confused. It may be because their lives are too busy. It's too low down their list of priorities. You know, we get that. It's not everybody's top of their priority. But at the same time, we need to meet the recycling targets. And if we don't, we get fined and we pay money to Europe that we don't need, that we could be spending on much better things in this country. Yeah. So look, we all do need to make an effort. So look, we're trying to help people with feedback, and the way we're doing that is. Panda, for example, have trialled a system of what we call a contamination detection system, and it's cameras on the back of the trucks. And because we have a very advanced system in Ireland where every bin is chipped and every bin is weighed and every bin can be related back to the customer, the cameras take pictures and people look at the pictures and visually identify where it's going wrong.
And this is all happening as the the bin is being lifted up and turned over, upturned to empty it.
Yep.
There's a camera watching everything.
Camera,
that's
and
out.
It's timed perfectly to miss the compactor that's crushing the material. Yeah, it's been trialed for 18 months with Panda and it's been highly successful. So they're rolling it out to all their trucks now and the rest of the companies. We're trying to get every other company and it's been sponsored by Repack to try and roll it out to all the other companies so that
just,
we all
I'm
do
I'm just
it.
Baffled at how it can pick up. Offending material. Because the dump of the contents is very quick.
Yeah, and it's a really quick shutter speed on the camera. So it took a lot of trial and error to get it right, but it's right now. And there are other systems that use AI. So, you know, it's up to each company to decide what system they want to use. But, the people...
So you're caught with something inappropriate. What happens next?
Yeah, you'll get an email and the email will have the photograph on it. And the photograph will point out what you've done wrong and will just ask you nicely, you know, to please do something else with that
material.
And
if you're caught again?
Yeah, well, you could be caught a few times. And look, eventually, if somebody... Like what we found is that there was between 30 and 55% of the recycling bins were contaminated initially, and that came right down to about 5% after this effort.
Okay.
So it's hugely, hugely effective. If you're caught, if you keep doing it and you're blatantly ignoring all the advice and all the feedback, well, then you're not complying with your contract. Your contract is to provide recyclables in one bin and residual waste in another, or general waste and brown bin and brown, you know, food and garden in the third bin. And if you're not doing that, you will be charged.
Are
more.
A lot of recycling bins contaminated with food waste? I mean, the general bin can take food waste.
No, it shouldn't, but
I mean, it's not going to do if someone puts the core of an apple in the black bin. It's, you know,
it hurts our recycling rate more than anything. But yeah,
this is a general bin. If a banana peel goes into that, that'll just go to the incinerator, won't it?
It will, but at the same time, it's the wrong place for it. And that's the thing that hurts our recycling rate the most is food waste in the general bin. So look, everyone should have food waste bins.
No, hang on a second. You say food waste in the general bin is not for recycling at all.
No, but what I'm saying is if it's in the composting bin, if it's in the brown bin, it counts towards recycling.
Okay.
Even though it's composting, whatever, it's anaerobic digestion, but it does help a recycling rate. So if it's in, and it's a heavy material, but we're finding that 3% of what's in the recycling bin is food waste. 3%. You know, it should be 0%.
And that's contamination, full stop.
That's across the board contamination, yeah. So
talk to me about lithium batteries in any bin.
Yeah. They're a huge problem in the waste industry across the world. They're a huge problem because obviously there's more and more of them. If they're crushed, and the first thing we do when we collect waste is crush it because it goes in the back of a truck, the trucks go on fire, basically. And if it gets past the truck and gets into a sorting centre and it gets crushed there or shredded there, it can start a fire there. So it's a massive problem. We need to keep them out of there.
Now, we've seen pictures of buses going on fire with big, you know, electric buses with massive lithium batteries. But suppose a small... lithium battery that you use maybe in a key fob or something like that goes on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, is that potentially really destructive or is it a small fire that burns itself out very, very quickly?
Well, no, it's potentially dangerous. It's a small fire, but a small fire goes very quickly when it's amongst recyclables. You know, they're pretty flammable. We wanted to see... vapes being banned, the disposable vapes, and I think they are being, which is great because they've got small lithium batteries. Greeting cards have small lithium batteries. You know, people will put greeting cards into a recycling bin, which makes sense, but if they have a battery in it, you've got to get the battery out.
The thing that has a jingle playing, happy birthday to you.
And that needs to be banned, to be honest.
It's extraordinary that, lithium is expensive to get out of the earth and it's a complex mining system and a dirty mining system. Yeah. So we should try to salvage as much of it as we can.
100%, and it's a critical raw material, and you know the EU rules are you know, you can see what's happening internationally over critical raw materials. We need to preserve them, we need to recycle them. It's hugely important, so they should never be part of a disposable anything.
Yeah. Now, going back to people who are not maybe putting out their bin at all there, and we know that Dublin City Council are having a go at some people who inexplicably appear to have no waste.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, there's a survey has been done by the CSO a few years ago, and it's quite revealing, I suppose. About 80% of people across the country have wheelie bins. And there's another 16% that can account for their waste totally legitimately using recycling centres, sharing bins with neighbours and various other things. But there's a small percentage that can't account for their waste. And we see bags being dumped illegally on the streets, in Dublin in particular. And we see... bags being dumped down back lanes around the country. So look, some people are clearly illegally dumping the waste, some people are burning it. There are enforcement powers there now that were missing in the past, really, and it was to do with the data protection. So
we've got CCTV authorised now,
yeah,
to look at litter black spots.
Exactly.
Have they been deployed yet, do you know?
I don't know. Now, that's down to the councils, really, so I'm not sure where they are on that. But also the knocking on doors, because what we couldn't do in the past is, under the General Data Protection Regulation, we couldn't share our customer information with the authorities, but now we can. So we can give the authorities our information as to who are our customers. And if all the companies do that, which they will willingly, the council can then find out those who don't have a service, and they can knock on the door. And if they can explain what they do with their waste legally and show receipts, that's absolutely fine. But if they can't explain it, it needs further investigation.
Now, we may be static in terms of our recycling rates. 40% or thereabouts, you say, for the last 10 years.
It'll be higher in 2024, because we've done a lot of work on this, and we reckon we get it up to about 47, 48.
But, you know, where there's muck, there's brass. You know, there's money to be made from recycling materials. Yeah. Do we make that money in Ireland, or do we just kind of pay other people to take it away and they make money out of it?
Yeah, it's a good question, Pat. I mean, we do recycle, reprocess some waste in Ireland, but we export a lot of it for reprocessing abroad. And that's because it's an international market. In the past, we had, you know, Smurfit had a paper mill. Ireland is considered too small for a paper mill. Yeah. And in the past, we had steel mills. And again, Ireland's considered too small for steel mills. So we're a little bit of a victim of our size when it comes to the global economy in that sense.
Now, some of the comments coming in. I was at a bottle bank recently, and two young lads were sticking bottles and cans they had collected on the street. This is one of the Bring machines. They were ecstatic that they got over €5 between them. The return scheme is brilliant and educational for our youngsters. It is a success.
Yeah, it's popular with a lot of people. We'd like to see it extended to a digital scheme. So the idea, Pat, is that with a digital scheme, you don't have to go to a reverse vending machine at all. You can have a QR code on materials, and it can be extended to Tetra Pak and other materials. You have a QR code on the material, you have a QR code on your bin at home, you scan the two of them, and ching ching, you get the deposit back into your phone. Don't need to go near the machine. That's what we lobbied for originally. It would have been a much better scheme, but look, we are where we are, and we understand why it's gone down the road it's gone down, and we're not fighting against that in any way. But if it's to be extended, the reverse vending machines will only take cylindrical objects. It won't take Tetra Pak. It won't take shampoo bottles. You know, there's lots of...
Yeah.
So we think there's a bigger future in doing it easier for people, easier for consumers, where they can do it at home.
Another one. There are five groups responsible for recycling in this country: the producers, the retailers, the recycling companies, the government, and us, the consumer. Yeah. The consumer pays the four other groups quite handsomely to arrange proper recycling. They obviously failed in their jobs, and now it's all been put back on the consumer with the deposit return scheme.
Well, I wouldn't agree. I mean, I agree with the first part. It's a brilliant point. Everybody who puts something in a bin in this country is part of the solution. You know, we're all part of it. Look, the infrastructure is there. The tree bin system now being rolled out across the country, which is new, that it's going to rural areas, apartments, commercial premises. You know, so the tools are there. We have the great network of bottle banks, textile banks, the electrical stores taking the electrical goods, you know, and it's down to educating. And look, we're also producing some short videos that we're going to send out to all the households in the country as well, with a little bit more information as to what.
Another one says, Panda's owners sold their shares for €53 million. So maybe waste companies can do more in terms of separating waste rather than trying to shame people who already pay high taxes and then have to pay for private waste management. That's from John in Dublin.
And look, Pat, we are actually trying to segregate the waste that's coming in the general waste bin, because we're capturing metals out of that and hard plastics and that. But the quality is gone down. By the time it's gone into that bin, the quality's gone down. We need it in the right bin.
Question: can shredded paper be put in the newspaper recycling bin at my local council centre?
Yes.
Because paper's paper.
Yeah, paper's paper. Yeah. Okay, there's a slight issue with kitchen towels.
This is a tricky one. Can you put the foil lids off yogurt and metal containers from chicken roast dinners in the recycling bin?
Yes, clean, dry and loose. Yeah, clean. Yeah. Clean is important there.
Does it really matter, though? Because any aluminium is going to be heat recycled.
Yeah.
And any contaminants will be long gone.
Well, a food contaminant can contaminate the paper is the problem.
Yeah, but if you were to take one of those containers and crush it up into a bowl.
Yeah,
no problem, I presume.
Yeah, that's true, Pat. Yeah, if it's not contaminated anything else, that's fine.
Some plastics have a label on them saying they're not recyclable. Should these go in the rubbish or the recycling?
Just ignore the labels is our advice, because just put all plastic packaging clean, dry and loose in the recycling bin.
I don't have a food bin. Is there a date when all households will actually have them? That's from Niamh and Cashel.
Yeah, look, the problem is it takes a long time to get the trucks and to get the weighing equipment and to get them certified and all the rest. So it started in January last year and it'll be completed, we think, by June this year. But I'd say we're at 80-90% right now.
If I'm not able to wash out every plastic bottle or container or tin and I can't get to the bottle banks, what am I to do?
If you can't wash them out...
Because if you wash them out, you can put them in your domestic bins.
Yeah, no, well, they should be clean if they're going to the recycling centres as well. You know, I know people put stuff in the dishwasher. I just give it a quick rinse. I put a bit of water in, shake it up, and that should be clean enough. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be washed and dried, if you know what I mean, Pat.
All right.
Just try and get the
contamination
off.
But the message is, if everyone did the right thing and put everything in the appropriate bin, we'd be much further down the road.
We could be the best in the world, Pat. We're not far off it. You know, a lot of the claims being made by Germany, Austria are overestimating the recycling rate. We're measuring it perfectly right here, and I think we could certainly get to 55 by later this year if everyone gets on board with it, Pat.
All right. Conor Walsh, Secretary of the Irish Waste Management Association. Conor, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.